Thanks, Bert. Well, good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you. And let's open again with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here tonight. And we thank you that we could sing praises to your name already. And we thank you for who you are and what you've done through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we just pray for your help tonight as we look at various scriptures and your word. And I pray that you would orchestrate my thoughts, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart might be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Just pray this in your name. Amen. I have to say, for some reason, I struggled a lot today with what to say tonight, and I don't know why, but I'm trusting the Lord that something's going to work out. I had a message which I shared on Tuesday at the seniors meeting, and I felt the Lord led it through, and I'll probably just do the same type of thing, but I feel like Peter walking on water right now. I you know, like, for some reason, I don't know why. So, but anyways, we'll start here. So we had a funeral about a month or a week ago, and you know, funerals are always something. They speak to your heart, and it was a beautiful little girl, 14 years old. But to see her there, you see that without the spirit, the body is dead, right? The real person is inside of us. And yeah, that is what you see every time you go to a funeral. And right now in this room, we're all people created in the image of God. And we're not like dogs, which we raise. We'll ask you this question. So that week when that funeral was going to happen, I found myself working and at times crying because it was such a tragic thing. And we had a puppy that died, and I never shed no tears for that puppy. And you would ask, what's the difference? Well, the difference is this: that puppy doesn't have a spirit. And you cannot talk to that dog. You can, they might have a soul, I think. I don't know, a dog. They have feelings, but they don't have a spirit. They can't be born again. And but a person, that's what we all are in this room. We have a spirit inside of us, and there's eternity in each one of us in our hearts. And so what I would like to say is, where will you go if it happened tonight for any one of us? Where would I go? Where would I be if I died tonight? Or you? And this is probably, it is the most important question in the world that you will ever face. So we'll start off by thinking, can we enter into heaven because I was pretty good? You know, I've attended church all my life. I was baptized as an infant. Can that do it? Well, no, it can't. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's not some good things that we do that could save us. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the one who was a very outstanding religious leader of the day, you must be born again. Except you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God or see the kingdom of God, heaven. And the Bible teaches that we are all born dead in trespasses and sins. We're born that way. And you might ask, well, what? I think I'm a pretty good person. I never did anything that bad. I never killed anybody. You might even think you've kept most of the law. But it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And I was thinking about it. Another verse, Galatians 3, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded. It's the conclusion of the whole Bible, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And so there's hope for anybody in this world and everyone in this world, in this room. Because the whole scripture has concluded we're all under sin. And therefore, the promise is given by faith to them that believe. You think of it, God did not leave us to ourselves, even though we're all sinners. And I also wanted to show, there's a verse in Romans 5, verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That happened way back in the beginning, when we remember that God created the heavens and the earth, and it was perfect, and he made man, and the garden was perfect, and then there was the Garden of Eden, where they were to till it and to keep it, and they walked with God in the cool of the day, and everything was right and good. It was very good. But there was a being who was there, and the serpent, it's the devil, and he was there, and he tempted Eve. He deceived her, actually, and caused her to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were commanded not to take of. And when she did that, she took it, and then she gave it to her husband, Adam. But he took it willingly, as it were, with his eyes wide open. He knew. But she was deceived, but he knew. And at that point, the whole of us, all human, the whole human race was plunged into being dead in trespasses and sins. And we're all born that way. And you know, the thought of thinking that I might be able to be good enough, the holiness of God is perfection. And that's what God requires to enter into heaven. And it's actually outrageous to think that maybe I could have, you know, even for a day. No, if our salvation depended on us, we can't even last a nanosecond. It's just impossible because we sin. We all do sin, and that's not even what it is that keeps us out of heaven. It's what we are. We're sinners. It's what we are. You can pluck the apples off an apple tree, but it's going to still produce more apples. You got to cut it down at the root, actually pull the roots right out of the ground. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. We cannot please God in the flesh. If that's all we are is in the flesh, we're not born again, then we cannot please God. But there is hope because the gospel says that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And what is the gospel? Every Sunday morning we come here to remember the Lord Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. Let's look over at, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1, it says, I want to thank you for praying today, actually. I just thought of that. Because I don't know what it was. I had a really hard time. But I'm thanking the Lord that he has answered prayer. Okay, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's what it is. He died on the cross of Calvary, and he was buried, and he rose again according to the Scriptures. And what does it say in Romans 1, verse 16 again? I'll just look there once more. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, the dynamite of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I had verses come to mind this morning, even. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 6. I actually read this morning. You know, this is what happened as a believer when I trusted in Christ. And it happened to you too, if you trusted in Christ. I hope everyone here has. It says there in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, I'm going to start there, actually, 3, and I'm going to read through the 6. But if our gospel be hid, that's the good news, that Christ died for our sins. If that's hid to them that are lost, sorry, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's the Satan with a small g, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And that's what he does. He blinds the minds of those who are lost. So they just can't comprehend. They can't come around to believe. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Then Paul goes on and he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And this is the verse that spoke to me this morning at the Lord's Supper. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. And when you think of this, the Apostle Paul is writing this, and I'm sure he's thinking of in the beginning. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Look at Genesis 1, and it says, thinking of that verse in Corinthians, just keeping that in your mind. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that's kind of a summary of what God did. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And if you think about this, this is like my heart. It was dark and without form and void, empty, darkness. That's what you were like before you came to Christ. That's what I was like before I came to Christ. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God, the Holy Spirit, was working in my life and in your life before you came to Christ. He was moving. He was doing things in your life. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light shone in, the glorious light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. And that's what Paul says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, just like he did in creation, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the one we're here thinking about, worshiping. And I would say the only reason anybody is ever going to be into heaven is because of him. It's not us, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to contribute that way. No way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one. He's the reason. We were singing a few minutes ago the song that's right out of the Bible here in John 1, verse 12 and 13. Let's just look at those verses for a minute. John 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the right, or the privilege to become the sons of God. That's amazing. Even to them that believe on his name. Do you know who that is? That's people like you and me. Because we were not walking around 2,000 years ago on earth when Jesus was. So it says, even to them that believe on his name. And that takes faith. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We haven't seen him. We haven't seen Jesus with our eyes, but we have by the eyes of faith through the word of God. And this happens to first at salvation, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ comes into our hearts and minds, illuminates us, and we're alive. We're a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we still have that old nature, but we have the new nature, which cannot sin. But we want to go on here in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And I think Bert went over this morning, but it doesn't hurt to do it again. We're not here because we're Dutch. We're not here because we're German as believers. It's not your background. Maybe if you were Jewish, you can't say I was a son of Abraham, that's why I'm going to go to heaven. No, it's not from our lineage. And it's not by the will of the flesh. It's not your efforts that can make you be able to go to heaven. It's not by the will of man. There's not me willing that you would be saved. It can't be you wanting somebody else to be saved. It's the work of God, but of God. So when God saves someone, it's God who does it. We can pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will work. And that's what we can do. And we can share the good news of the message, the gospel. that Christ died for our sins. And I want to share, too, that we can know for sure that we have eternal life. We don't have to kind of go, well, I hope so. I'm not so sure. I know I believed in Jesus, but I'm not sure. Well, let's look at some verses that tell us that, you know, we can know this for sure. John 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27. Let's turn over there. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who's speaking. And he says, my sheep, and by the way, we're compared to sheep a lot of times in the Bible. We're just like sheep. We follow a lot. And we're kind of dumb, actually, because sheep aren't that smart. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's some of the evidence of the new birth in our lives, that we follow Christ. We follow what he wants. But it says further, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So this is the one who, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye into all the world and make disciples, and so on. This is the one who is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The most powerful one in the universe is speaking here, and he says, and I give unto them eternal life. Eternal isn't 5 years. It's not 10. It's not 500. It's forever. Eternal. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then further on, we read in verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And someone has said to me, this is like double protection. We're in the Lord Jesus' hand, and we're in the Father's hand. Double protection. But he says, I and my Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And this is why when I got saved and it dawned on me that the one of the Old Testament, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New. That's God on the cross. That means everything. That's just not a man hanging on the cross for your sins. That's God in the flesh. And that's why it's so amazing when we read, like Philippians 2, how he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in Peter, where he, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And just the humility of our Savior, how he went to that extent. And you know how we are? If you're like me, when you feel like your rights have been a little bit trampled on, the ire gets going, you know, like, oh, yeah. Well, he didn't do that at all. He went as a lamb to the slaughter, and he didn't say anything. It's amazing. And you know what that does? That causes us to worship. When we really let it sink in, who he is, he's the one who spoke the world into existence. And he's the one who went to the Calvary and suffered and died for each one of us so greatly. It's just incredible. And so we can see that he gives unto us eternal life. I want to look over now at 1 John. This whole book is probably dedicated to that thinking, that thought that we can know that we have eternal life. It is possible. For sure. 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5, and we'll start at verse 9. Sorry.
First John.
Yes. Thank you. I was all mixed up. 1 John 5. Thanks. 1 John 5, verse 9. And I'm going to start reading there. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And I would say that's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, which dwells in every believer the moment you trust Christ. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And I like how John uses this word, the record. You know, sometimes if somebody is in the news and there's some slander or something going on about them, hey, I want to set the record straight. I want to set the record straight. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's very clear. It's very simple. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Life eternal is in Christ Jesus. And when we're found in him, then we have life eternal, eternal life. It's because he is eternal life. It says that in the end of this book, in verse 20, if you look at verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. Let's look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you look at the beginning of this chapter, I'll start reading there. It says, there is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I don't know, but I'm told that the next few words are not in the original. I'm not going to make a big point of that, but the point is this. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The reason we're not condemned is because we're in Christ Jesus. It's unconditional because it's all dependent on him. We have eternal life because we're found in him. It's not our performance. So that's what I get out of that too. But let's look at verse 2. And it's not a bad thought either. It's great. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Just thinking of that verse here in verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. We are the weak link. The law is good and holy and just, but we can't keep it. Not to the perfection that's needed to be, because we're sinners. Basically, that's what it is. We're sinners. So we couldn't do it. So God, sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, God came and took upon himself a body, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he there went to Calvary, and it says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I just want to share with you that as I was thinking today, praying and doing some reading, I read through this chapter, and when I came to this verse, I had felt real comfort in my heart, and it's found in verse 25. Let's start there. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And this is the verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That was a real comfort to me, because not only are you people praying, and I was praying, but the Holy Spirit is praying. And he was praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I like the next verse too. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows that he knows what we need. And God looks and he can see in our hearts, and he sees the Spirit of God in us. And I think that's what it means where it says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. It just reminds me that without Christ, it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But we have a God who can see right into our hearts, and he searches our hearts, and he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And that's a comfort to me. Even though I felt like I didn't know what I was going to say tonight, I could trust and depend on him. And I do want to thank you for praying. So to wrap this up, the Bible clearly tells us that we can know that we have eternal life, and this life is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all because of him, who he is, and what he has done. And as believers, we want to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Good works come as a result of trusting in him, that we should walk in them, it says in Ephesians. But there's no way in the world good works is going to make you right with God. So I just thought I would share some of these thoughts, and I think I'll close, and then maybe we'll have a hymn that we can sing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can know you personally, and you've showed this over and over in your word. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We thank you that you've made it simple enough for a child to understand and believe. And actually, unless we become like a child, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And we thank you that you've spoken to many here, if not all. And if there is anyone who does not know you as Lord and Savior, we just pray that you would work by your Holy Spirit to bring them to the place repentance and calling out to you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we just pray these things and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does anybody have...